You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Because we've got rocks and trees and trees and rocks and rocks and trees and trees and rocks and water. All right, everyone!
Hello.
Hi, we're the Arrogant Worms.
We are.
And you're listening to the Flopcast.
Yes, you are.
And rocks and water. In Canada.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 290.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hey, Kevin.
Welcome to 290 of the Flopcast.
We are creeping up on episode of 300.
Wow, that's coming fast. That's crazy. But we're out of our 280 shows. We're into the 290s now, and the 280s shows were 80s themed. Guess what we're doing now?
I can hardly believe that this is happening on
this
our little
really
show.
This is really happening. We've never done this.
And after this, we'll never do it again.
It's probably a huge mistake.
Right.
But we're going to attempt to, for the next 10 episodes, be 90s themed, the way we've always done those 80s shows.
We are going to incorporate some 90s
Let's
talk.
Try this. This is your time.
I can hardly believe it.
I was hiding in a coffee house for most of this time, running my little open mic night. I kind of missed the 90s.
I hope I don't make you regret this, but something tells me.
You have a lot to teach me about the 90s. We'll get through this together.
Okay.
Let's see what happens. So let's do this. This will be in our National Whatever Day format.
National Whatever Day!
But once again, instead of your regular National Whatever Day, we're doing something 1990 themed. Do you have something for us?
Oh, do I? And the funny thing is, I can't remember whether or not we've ever discussed this on our show. I'm venturing to guess that we have not.
Okay.
1990 was the year of Hammer Pants. Now,
oh, as in MC Hammer?
As in MC Hammer.
And he had giant pants.
Big, billowy pants.
Yes.
That caught on. Everybody looked like I Dream of Jeannie. I certainly wore them. They were super comfortable.
You wore them?
Oh, heck yes.
You had MC Hammer pants.
Yes, I did.
See, I still have so many weird things to learn about you. These 90 shows, it's already worth it. Already paying off.
And if I were to go back, I'd do it again.
So it was MC Hammer, it was Barbara Eden, and you.
Yes.
All identically dressed as far as pants go.
I thought I would take this unique opportunity, though, to clear up a misconception.
About pants?
Specifically about Hammer Pants.
Okay.
Because I know that this is what's on everybody's mind right now. I heard them back at that time referred to as parachute pants.
Mm.
I think because they were big and billowy.
Right.
But it turns out the parachute pants are something else entirely. Did you know this?
Isn't that more of an 80s breakdancer kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Parachute pants aren't flowy at all.
No.
They're actually...
Don't get me wrong. They're ridiculous.
They had a lot of zippers.
But there was a level of ridiculous we did not know existed until MC Hammer came along.
Brought out those Hammer pants, yeah. Parachute pants aren't big. They're close-fitting, and they're made of a like parachute-like material that's kind of slippery, which is good for breakdancing.
There were kids at my junior high wearing those stupid breakdancing pants.
Did they actually breakdance?
Some of them did, yes.
Like in the hallway?
Usually outside. We had a designated breakdancing area outside the school.
Your school was so cool. My school did not have that. We just had hopscotch.
So the kids would set up their cardboard, like from a refrigerator box or something.
Uh-huh.
They'd lay out the giant hunk of cardboard, and they were breakdancing out there.
See, my school was stupid. My school didn't have that. But you know, my backyard did.
Yeah.
My brothers did breakdancing in the backyard.
Dancing?
Big thing of cardboard. So at least, you know, school failed me, but my family did not.
Right.
So Hammer Pants, on the other hand, I don't think they lasted much more than a year before people like came to their senses.
I can't believe it took a year for people to realize, what are we doing? Saturday Night Live at the time, they had a commercial for Levi's three-leg jeans. It was just a pair of jeans that had just an extra third leg would be flapping around. That was less ridiculous.
You gotta admit, they were comfy.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
So am I making you regret the segment yet?
No, well, this reinforces a decision that I made because I thought, you know, for all those 80s episodes, I would rattle off the top 10 songs for that week. And it just got worse and worse by the end of the 80s, as you recall, from that nightmarish list that we went through last week. So I thought, should I do that for the 90s? And then I immediately thought, no, absolutely not.
I can't imagine because there's weathering that.
Nothing worse than the top 10 in the 90s. So, no, we're going to stay far away from the pop charts in these 90s, for my purposes, at least.
Did you happen to look at what it was?
No, I didn't even look.
Okay.
I just knew.
Because I could have guessed.
Yeah, I just somehow knew. Well, MC Hammer, right?
Right. Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Yeah. Need I go on?
Yeah. So I was not going to deal with those guys for the next 10 episodes. So that going from the 80s into the 90s, that's when I really took a hard turn away from top 40 because it was just getting dreadful
right
at that point. It kind of rebounded by the mid-90s.
You know, yeah.
The grunge and then pop got a little more interesting in the mid-90s. Things got a little better. I did start thinking, though, well, what was I listening to in 1990? Because it certainly wasn't the top 40. And I started looking at what records came out in 1990 that I like. And there's a bunch. And I actually pulled out a few. I've got some CDs right here from 1990.
Nice.
Now, these are all more recently acquired than 1990 because I was still on cassettes back then. I didn't switch to CDs until like the mid-90s, I think. I was kind of late to the CD scene.
Same here. It was either 95 or 96 for me.
But look what I have here. I pulled out four records from 1990, actual stuff that I actually listened to instead of Hammer. For example, we've got the Breeders here. The Breeders' first album, Pod, was 1990.
Good stuff.
Yes. Very different sounding than the second one. I think there's better known songs, Cannonball and whatnot, on the second record. But the Pod, the first record, and you look at the lineup on the back. This is when Tanya Donnelly was still in the Breeders. And also in the credits here, you see the violin player, Carrie Bradley.
That's
Carrie from Ed's Redeeming Qualities.
Yep.
This wacky folk band came out of the Boston scene in the late 80s, Ed's Redeeming Qualities.
They're just the best.
They were crazy and wonderful. The Breeders, when they started, this was like a super group of women from the Boston rock scene because Kim Deal was in the Pixies
right
at that time and Tanya was in Throwing Muses and Carrie Bradley from Ed's Redeeming Qualities. And, you know, I just this week, Kim Deal was just on Mark Maron's podcast, the WTF podcast. Because the Breeders are back together. You know, I saw them do a reunion show a couple of years ago. And it's a great talk because Mark Maron started doing comedy in Boston. So he was around like in the late 80s, just ahead of the Breeders being around. So it's a fun conversation, especially for locals like us, because they're talking about T.T. the Bears. And they actually mentioned Ed's Redeeming Qualities on Mark Maron's podcast.
Excellent.
And Mark said he remembered them.
The music of Ed's Redeeming Qualities just forms a mental suction cup in your head. And it just, if you discover it, it just stays there forever in all of its glory.
Well, speaking of Ed's Redeeming Qualities, look what the next record I have in my stack here
bad
is.
Bad Times!
This was the first full-length album from Ed's Redeeming Qualities. It was 1990.
I might like that album.
More Bad Times.
A lot. I didn't discover it till the 2000s, but I might like it a lot.
Yeah, there's some incredible stuff on this record, and they had already moved out of Boston by the time I discovered them. By the time this album came out, they'd relocated to San Francisco, but they still came back out this way to perform once in a while. I remember Ed and I, speaking of Ed's Redeeming Qualities, you know, our Ed from Sponge Awareness, Ed and I went to T.T. the Bears to see Ed's Redeeming Qualities.
What was it, about 10 years ago, they did a reunion show? And I wanted to go, and I was so excited, and I went to go out the door, and I was struck by a migraine, and I couldn't go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
I would have loved to have seen that.
I was there, but I recall that you were not there, and that was a shame, yeah.
I had been looking forward to it all day, and then just suddenly fell ill. It was the worst. I was so sad.
Yeah. If anybody doesn't know Ed's Redeeming Qualities, they used to be described as garage folk. I think Carrie used to call them garage folk. Dr. Demento would play them once in a while back then.
What's your favorite off of that album? Do you have one?
Oh, man, this record has so much fun stuff on this. I mean, Lawn Dart is on here, I believe. And I mean, Sponge Awareness, my band, we used to cover some Edgerton & Quality songs sometimes because they weren't really a comedy band, but a lot of their stuff was very quirky and funny, you know?
Yeah.
The way They Might Be Giants can be.
Yes.
Speaking of which, look what my next record here is.
Oh, yes.
This is the third They Might Be Giants album. Flood was a brand new record for 1990, as the song goes.
Yes.
As the track one theme from Flood, which they announce, it's a brand new record for 1990. Absolutely one of their classic records. And so many songs on this are just classic stuff that they still perform all the time to this day. You saw these guys just a couple months ago.
And they were doing, I would call, deep cuts off of that album. Yep. Because Flood has Istanbul and Flood has Particle Man. And those are the songs that everybody knows.
Yeah, but Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Birdhouse, yeah. When they were live, they did all of those. But they also did Letterbox and Dead.
Yeah.
Which are songs that I'm fond of. I've got Sapphire Bullets of Pure Love going through my head now that we're discussing this.
Yeah, and again, Ed from Sponge Awareness, in late 1989, before the album came out, we went to see them at the Paradise Rock Club in Boston. I remember watching them do songs from this album, you know, a few months before it came out.
Wow. I did not have that in CD form. I had it as a cassette.
Oh, me too.
It was, somebody taped it for me and gave it to me. I was like, they might be giants. Mm-hmm. What is? And then I put the tape in my tape recorder and it just seemed to like stay there forever because when I discovered Flood, there was nothing else I wanted to listen to.
Yep.
Who are these guys? They're incredible. And then I wind up seeing them on Tiny Toons with the cartoons that they were doing. And I didn't know they had been around for so long already. Yeah.
And still quite busy to this day. And they've got a big year coming up. There's going to be a new album out in January, I believe, and a big tour is coming. They're going to be back in Boston this spring.
Yes!
We should go see them.
Yes, we should!
And I've got one more record I pulled out from 1990, and that is another band that I saw this year for the first time in a long time, and that's Midnight Oil.
Oh, yes.
Back just when we needed them most, they came back to us this year. And this is the Blue Sky Mining album from 1990. Amazing album. Blue Sky Mining. I mean, Blue Sky Mine was the first single, but Forgotten Years, King of the Mountain. So much classic stuff on this record.
I've never seen the album cover before. I love that lightning bolt.
It is very blue. It's been like 15 years or so, and they finally got back together this year and just barely managed to catch them in Boston because those shows were selling out instantly. I did manage to snag a couple of tickets, and they're still amazing. So look at that. Look, this is from 27 years ago. We're talking about 1990.
Yikes.
But these bands are still out there, you know?
27 years.
So, isn't that awful?
Oof.
Well, that's what I brought for you, Cornflake, is some of the music I actually liked from the year 1990.
Well, thank you. That was good for washing down the hammer bands.
I think we have the title for this episode. Nicely done. It's a little disgusting, but I think we're going to use it. And now I think we're staying on a music theme, right? Because you've actually been out. I've barely left the house in the last couple of weeks, but you've actually gone out and seen some stuff, seen some live music lately, right?
I have. So I heard that Eddie from Ohio was coming to town.
And this is like one of your all-time favorite bands.
Yeah, and they don't get like around too much very often.
Crazy wild folk rock act. What's her name? The
Julie
singer?
Murphy Wells.
Julie just has that amazing voice. And yeah, they don't tour a lot these days, but they came back up this way and you got to see them.
They're all kind of doing their own thing, but every once in a while they get back together to perform just for us.
Just for you.
And they had two shows in the area, one in Natick, which is just outside of Boston, and then another one in Rhode Island, about halfway down through the state.
Yes.
And I was all excited. I'm like, oh, hey, Natick's not far, but all the other Ed Heads, fans of Eddie from Ohio, heard about that show too and got sold out.
An Ed Head, that could be an Eddie from Ohio fan. It could be an Ed's Redeeming Qualities fan. It could be a Sponge Awareness Foundation fan.
It could be.
We don't know. Could be an Eddie Grant fan.
Could be an Eddie Rabbit fan.
Could be Eddie Rabbit. Could be an Eddie Money fan.
Could be an Eddie and the Cruisers fan.
Yes, yes. That's why I consider myself an Ed Head, is because of Eddie and the Cruisers. But we digress.
Yes.
What's happening these days with Eddie from Ohio?
Thankfully, the Rhode Island show was not sold out, so I snatched up tickets for that. And
so you went all the way down to the Rhode Island show.
I did, because okay, I wasn't going to miss them while they were in town.
Oh, of course, but that's a much farther drive for you. But I know that theater. I was in that theater earlier this year. That's where I saw the Mads, TV's Frank and Dr. Forrester from Mystery Science Theater.
Yes.
The live show they did was in that very same theater.
The Greenwich Odeon.
Yeah. It's a cool little theater.
It is. It's very, and that street that it's on is always bustling with activity. A lot of great restaurants.
A good friend of ours, good friend of the show, used to live right on that street. So I used to spend a lot of time down that way.
Seems like an exciting place to be.
It's a lovely area.
So, not an easy place to park, mind you.
No. And it was full of snow when I was down there earlier this year.
Oh, that would have complicated things.
At least you didn't have to deal with the snow. I was like parking on a narrow street, on a hill, on a snowbank.
Well, you know me with my parking luck. Yeah. I normally do quite well. Not this time.
No, you actually parked in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and then
and walked. Yeah.
The rest of the way. And got there just in time for the show to start. And the band was telling stories. They've just, a lot of them either had young children already or were having kids at, you know, the beginning of the band.
Right on stage?
At one point, Julie looked like she might. She was very, very... I remember seeing her at the Me and Thee coffee house. She looked like she was ready to pop right before she had her second son.
Yep.
I'm glad the show did not go that way. That would have been disturbing.
It would have been weird.
So,
but, you know, in Hammer Pants, you could get away with that. Who's going to know?
It's like a bassinet built right in.
Yeah. MC Hammer could have had several babies inside there. No, nobody would know.
Because he can't touch this. There were very few people in the audience that had never seen the band before. So it was a lot of longtime fans that did all the various hand motions, like making a mountain out of their arms during Old Dominion. Yeah, you'd have hated it.
Yeah, I would have had to wait outside during that part.
You would have had a hard time with it.
I know I frown upon audience participation.
But I loved it. So they are keeping busy, even though we don't get to see them as a band very often. Mm-hmm. And that was neat.
Excellent.
And as I did mention, it was a long drive.
Right.
And so I decided to stay in Rhode Island for the night.
Oh, did you? Wow.
I did.
Did you stay in Woonsocket?
No, but I saw signs from on the way down, I saw signs for Woonsocket, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
And all I could think
like
of was you.
Like, frightening warning signs, like, beware.
When I see the word Woonsocket, I can only think of you, Kevin.
Well, sure.
I think that's like
my town.
Feels like an insult, and I'm sorry. I'm just like, Woonsocket. But I got to show you what I did see.
What did you see in Rhode Island?
In the hotel before I left in the morning.
Yes.
You've told tale of this, and now I believe you.
Oh, what did you see down there? Coffee and milk. Was that just in the room? They have a bottle of coffee milk available in the room? A
bottle of coffee milk syrup in every room because it's Rhode Island. You know, this was in the area where the Continental Breakfast was.
Oh, okay.
There's this bottle.
Yes.
And then there's a picture in a frame next to it, and it says coffee milk, official state drink of Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy a little piece of Rhode Island's liquid history.
Oh, that's disgusting. They take their coffee milk so seriously down there in Rhode Island. And coffee milk, most people don't know about this outside the Rhode Island area. It's like chocolate milk, but it's coffee milk.
Yeah.
They sell bottles of coffee syrup and people dump it in milk and they have a delicious coffee milk beverage. I grew up on that stuff.
You've done it on the show. I remember one time instead of coffee, you
for
had
the
coffee.
Eclipse.
Yeah.
The week of the big solar eclipse, I had a bottle of Eclipse brand coffee syrup here. And yeah, we had some coffee milk here on the show. But yeah, that looked like an Autocrat brand coffee, which has a chicken on the bottle.
Yeah.
That's a Rhode Island Red Rooster on the cover of the Autocrat brand coffee syrup.
See, I wouldn't have known that.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I got to continue to hang with you, because you know these things.
I have so much to teach you. We have not scratched the surface of weird food and beverages in Rhode Island. I could go on and on. We do not have time today to get into this, but I got to make a note of that.
So I was.
I have so much freaky stuff to tell you about what they're eating and drinking down there.
I was thinking about making myself a lobby waffle, and then I saw that.
The lobby waffle, yes, a term coined by Mark Maron, by the way, who mentioned previously. Yeah, we stole that line from Mark Maron's stand-up act. He talked about when he's at a hotel and he likes seeing that little buffet area. He's checking in at night and he sees that machine and he knows in the morning he's going to make himself a lobby waffle.
Yes. In Rhode Island, you can have a lobby waffle with some coffee milk.
Absolutely. Or just dump the syrup right on your waffle.
I wish I had thought to do that.
That's hardcore.
I don't know how that would have been.
That sounds like a freaky but very successful voyage to the ocean state of Rhode Island to see Eddie from Ohio.
Do it again.
But now, that wasn't even the big show that you've seen in the last few days.
It wasn't.
This shocked me when I heard what else you had done.
I was surprised, too.
This is all Dornell's fault, right?
Yes, this was Dornell's idea. Dornell happened to notice that Janet Jackson is currently on tour.
Yes, that hasn't happened in a long time, I think.
But she's doing the State of the World tour.
Janet Jackson, she came back.
She did, and she does have some new music out. I'm not as familiar with it as I am familiar with those which came off of Rhythm Nation.
Sure.
But her new stuff's pretty good, but her classic late 80s, early 90s stuff, I just love. So Dornell said, how about we go see her? She's playing in Manchester. And I thought, oh, well, that sounds like it could be epic. So, yeah. And then there we were. And so Janet Jackson, to say that Janet Jackson is a big deal is an understatement. She's essentially pop royalty.
Absolutely.
And as I walked in and we took our seats, we had seats in row A. So there's the floor seats.
Sounds very close.
Yeah, we were the first row that wasn't floor seats.
Yeah. If I've got my alphabet straight, yes. Sounds like a pretty good row.
Dornell got us some amazing seats. I guess. And then they brought Janet out, and she looks incredible, and she sounds amazing.
Does she really sing?
She does.
You could tell. This is actual, real singing.
Yes.
Because a lot of times with these dance acts, there's some Fred Travellina-style lip-syncing goes on, I think, at a lot of these big arena shows. But that's nice. It's good to hear that Janet singing.
Yeah, she's actually singing, and her dancers are fantastic still. Mm-hmm. I do want to make note of one of the dancers. Her name is Allie, and when Dornell and I saw her on stage, we were amazed. So you get your image in your head of what a stage dancer looks like for any pop act.
Sure.
Janet Jackson has a lot of diversity in her lineup for her Rhythm Nation dancers. And she actually has a plus-size dancer named Allie.
Okay.
Who just knocked it out of the park. And Allie is my new hero. I had to hand it to her. In a time where people are so focused on just looking a certain way, Janet Jackson's having none of that. And so I just got to hand it to her. And wow, the whole group of dancers was incredible.
That's cool.
And
I rarely go to shows where there are dancers.
I know.
It has not happened often. It's happened a little bit, a time or two. It always kind of throws me at first. Like, wait, what's going on? What are those people doing?
It would have been really weird to see Janet Jackson without the dancers. Yeah.
I went to the Lilith Fair back in the mid-90s,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm in touch with the ladies.
Yeah.
And there was a singer named Maya who was on Lilith Fair. And these two girls came out and we're just dancing behind her. And I was very confused at first. Like, I don't understand what's happening. What are they? Are they going to sing? What's going on? And I was, oh, she just brought dancers. Weird. But for Janet, I would get it. I would expect, like, MC Hammer famously had, like, 50 guys dancing on stage with him.
Yeah.
They just shared the one same giant pair of pants.
So, if you get a chance and you see her tour is coming to town, get out and see it. You won't regret it.
All right, obvious question, based on what I think is the last time I saw Janet Jackson, was there a wardrobe malfunction?
You know, a lot of people asked me that,
yeah.
Both before the show, would you think there's going to be a wardrobe malfunction? And after the show, was there a wardrobe malfunction?
Well, I couldn't be more proud that I'm like the 38th person to ask this, apparently.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'm a little ashamed.
I think she's learned her lesson. I mean, she looks amazing, but she is covered head to toe, and those clothes are not moving. So I think if she wanted to do her big comeback, she was going to make sure that there was going to be no repeat wardrobe malfunction.
Sure.
And there were some people in the audience that had outfits like her, like the outfit she wears.
Were there wardrobe malfunctions in the audience?
No, like the Rhythm Nation cover where she has the hat And I thought, wow, this show has cosplayers. That's pretty awesome.
See, I go very old school on Janet Jackson. I was more a fan of her acting work before her music superstardom. You know, I was a fan on Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Well, she did Good Times before that. But
right, Good Times.
I wasn't a regular Good Times viewer. That was a long time ago. But Different Strokes, I'm all in. And she did several episodes of Different Strokes as Willis's girlfriend, Charlene. And then she went on to Fame after that. She did, I think, a season on the Fame TV series. But before Fame, I'm mainly a Different Strokes guy. You know I love Different Strokes.
I hadn't caught that.
I know I'm very subtle about it. There is a giant poster of Dana Plato up behind us as we record this. But don't turn around. Just take my word for it. But there was an episode of Different Strokes where Willis and Charlene, Janet Jackson, start a band. And the two of them are the lead singers. And then one night, Janet or Charlene couldn't be there for some reason. And Kimberly, Willis's sister, fills in.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out she's a great singer, too.
Oh, wow.
And now the rest of the band wants Kimberly and Willis to be the singers. And Janet Jackson is out.
Oh.
Because the other guys are saying, Willis, this will be the only brother-sister biracial singing team in the world. This is going to be awesome. And in the end, all three of them sing together.
Oh,
everything's
good.
Fine. And they guess what they sing?
What do they sing? Is it a Jackson 5 song?
No, that would have made too much sense. No, they sing Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, jeez.
At the end, the three of them. Oh, it's amazing. Look that up, everybody.
A little on the nose.
You want to see a magnificent Janet Jackson performance, look up Ebony and Ivory on Different Strokes. That was quite a moment. I'm surprised she didn't do it at the New Hampshire show.
I'm surprised.
Why didn't they bring out Todd Bridges?
Sir Todd Bridges?
Sir Todd Bridges should have been there to recreate. You never let me get away with not calling him, not addressing him by his proper full title of Sir Todd Bridges. I'm trying to learn. Well, thanks for sharing the Janet Jackson experience with us. I've never seen a Jackson, not even Tito.
I can say that I have now.
Sure.
So one other note about this show.
Okay.
Being that Janet Jackson had such fame and is a Jackson and is essentially pop royalty, I had this feeling that I should dress a little more nicely than I would for these shows.
Yeah. And hammer pants?
I almost wore hammer pants. And I didn't.
You're torn between the hammer pants and the parachute pants. Which way to go?
I didn't have time. I had to go in my work clothes. People dress like to the nines for these shows. It is as if they are preparing to see royalty.
Yeah.
So if you do find yourself going to a Janet Jackson show,
Get a dress up. Wow. All right.
Look good. Because people
just
are there.
Look like a slob like I do all the time.
People are there to see their queen. And you got to spruce up for a Janet Jackson show.
All right. Wow. Good tip. I think you have one more thing for us this week, and that is we're getting towards the end of November now.
November is slipping away.
You owe us your penultimate podcast recommendation for the year. What's your podcast for November?
It's out of WBUR in Boston, and it's called Circle Round.
Mm-hmm.
And it features a local storyteller who's, I'm just in love with her voice at this point. Her name is Rebecca Shear. I could listen to her all day, every day. And the special thing about this show that makes it a little different from all the other shows that I've recommended throughout the years, this one is geared toward children.
Uh-huh.
So if you're a kid or a kid at heart, like I am, you might enjoy this show, which takes folk tales from all around the world. The Circle Round group of storytellers does voices for the various characters in stories such as there was the lion's whisker. There was the woman who lived in the vinegar bottle, Stella and the dragon, just folk tales from all over the world. But
I don't know any of these stories.
I didn't either. I had never heard of any of these.
They're going kind of obscure.
They are, which is
deep cuts.
But you're going to love this. They also get stars.
Big celebrities come on the show.
Celebrities. They do.
Did we get Tito Jackson?
They had
Randy Jackson.
I hope I don't get her name wrong. Catherine Hahn from Bad Moms.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure she's a huge star. I don't know who anybody is. I'm so out of touch.
Well, they got Lou Diamond Phillips from
the
episodes.
Okay, I know. Yeah, it has to be anybody from the 80s I'll get. I know Lou Diamond Phillips.
You're going to like this one.
From La Bamba.
For one of the other episodes, they got John Cryer.
Okay, sure. From Hiding Out.
Yeah. So they get these big names to guest star.
This is John Cryer's big return to Boston, where he once filmed Hiding Out 30 years ago. Now he's back.
On
and he's
Circle
angry.
Round.
Yes. Excellent.
Actually, he's the most depressed man in the world. He's in a story where he goes on an adventure to find the happiest person in the world and learn their secrets. So
that's you, right? Did he pull you out of the audience? Here she is, folks.
That would have been great. I don't think most of their shows are done with a live studio audience.
Yeah.
But this recently, you could go and see them record their stories live for two stories, one called Onions and Garlic, and the other one was The Princess in the Mirror. And I was there.
Nice.
And I kind of can't wait till those episodes come out because there were parts of the show where they let the audience yell out things. And so if you listen...
They listen for you.
Listen for me yelling about how to...
Screaming obscenities.
Or yelling about how to cook onions. One of those two things.
We'll see which way you went. Now, the obvious question for this live recording of Circle Round, any wardrobe malfunctions?
No.
That's a shame.
It is. It's, I guess if that's what you went to the show for, you left feeling like the show was lacking, but I didn't. I saw some great talent and I'm looking forward to whatever this show has coming next because I'm liking it a lot. So there you go. Circle Round.
Well, Cornflake, I think I guess we're wrapping up November now.
Unbelievable.
We're run screaming towards the rest of the holidays.
It went by
in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
We have some weird holiday plans for the show coming up soon, I believe.
Am I going to be ready for this?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
No, this is going to be a disaster, as usual.
Holiday disasters are my favorite, Kevin.
Before we get to that, though, why don't we wrap up this show?
I can do that. Want to tell you all where to find us on the internet. Why not check out our website, flopcast.net. You can find us at facebook.com/flopcast or on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. We're even on Instagram. Can you believe it? _flopcast.
Yeah, I think it's been 4 or 5 months since I posted anything to our Instagram account. So
keeping them on their edge of their seats.
Someday, folks, I'm going to remember to go back to Instagram.
Making the people wait.
Yes. Well, anyway, I'm glad you had so much stuff to fill us in on that you've been out seeing and doing, because I've just been flopped over on the couch recently. I think for our next show, though, I'm about to embark on running around doing a bunch of silly things in the next several days. So I'll have some stuff to share with you by the next time we get together.
Oh, I'm so glad, because I need to just flop over and
you
take
can
a
relax.
Nap
we,
after this.
We work in shifts like this, but starting a couple of days from now as we record, I think I'm going to 6 concerts in 9 days. Something like that.
Oh, I'm sure it will all be fantastic, but how do you do that?
I'm going to be napping through a lot of very good shows in the next few days, and I'll tell you all about it next week. See you there.
Peace and cookies.
ESO, 7 years of keeping it really geeky.
Trying to do? You ruined my record, man. I just bought it.
Hey, you guys!
How exciting. Spoilers.
Come! It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it. Bye, bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Goodbye.
The Earth Station One Podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
I have an idea.
Whatever it is, we love it.
Once again, on the drummer label before Pat House, we bring you the Aphrodisiacs and the great new singing group, the Three Nuts. I mean, no.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.